It is great to be with you on this Palm Sunday and just the beginning of Holy Week. I want to just maybe start from a personal note to begin with. I just so appreciate you all giving myself and my wife Beth an opportunity to be gone the last couple of Sundays as we welcomed into the world our first grandchild. So that was really, really cool. And I had a few people throughout the week, they're like, why don't you just put a picture up in front of us so we can just get that over with? And I said, I'm going to fight that urge all week. And of course, I lost that fight. Shepherd John Bartels, we thank you. Thank you. Thank you for your love, for your encouragement. It is such a great joy. All your grandparents out there, I'm finally in the club. This is awesome. But you know, today is a wonderful day. It's Palm Sunday. We have the opportunity here to walk with Jesus, to walk with him in those final days leading up to his crucifixion and ultimately to his joyful, victorious resurrection. And we are continuing a series that we're looking through this entire Lenten journey as we use the description of God's love for us that's recorded by the Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. And each week we've taken a piece of that to describe God's love. And today it revolves around this part of that. Love keeps no record of wrongs. It's about forgiveness. But you know, this is more than just about reading words on a page. This is more than just hearing and remembering the stories of Palm Sunday and even Holy Week. This is the opportunity also to see ourselves in the story, to walk with Jesus, and to experience the miracle of his love in a very real, very personal way. And that's my invitation for you today. And I'm going to do this. I'm going to connect two pieces of Jesus' ministry together. There's two scenes that I want to take you to. One of them is the obvious Palm Sunday scene that we just heard read, but then also I want to take you to a different scene that I'm going to go to first. And you might wonder how are these going to connect, but I'll connect them up. But it's going to be a scene that I believe that will help us explore and appreciate the depth and the beauty of God's love for you and me in a very real way. But first, let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for this time together, for those gathered here, for those gathered online. Lord, for us to be in this time of worship together, guided by your Holy Spirit, we ask that you would move mightily in us, grow us, fill us with your grace, and that gift of wholeness and healing. Lord, bless us as we gather around your word today in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I'm going to show you in just a few moments a video. And I want to set up the segment of this video. And what this is about, it's a clip about the account when Jesus heals a paralyzed man at the pool of Bethesda. You can find that if you're looking for it in John chapter 5. And the scene that you're going to watch is from the series many of you I know have watched, is The Chosen. But I want to set it up for you. And again, I'm going to connect it to Palm Sunday in a little while, but let me set it up for you. Here first is a picture of the ruins of the Pool of Bethesda. Now, Bethesda means house of grace. And at this pool, among the porticos there, there would be many people that were paralyzed, sick, blind, different ailments, and they would sit around this pool, and it was believed that that the waters would be stirred or mysteriously agitated. They said it was an angel from heaven that would come down and stir the waters, and as legend had it, the first person that could get into the water after it was stirred would be physically healed. So in this clip, Jesus approaches a man who has been there, paralyzed, for 38 years. He's been there, and every time he tries to get into the pool, somebody else beats him to the punch. I mean, this man has no one to help him out, and so there he lies. He's paralyzed, and he's hopeless. Now, as you watch this clip, I want you to do two things for me. I want you to recognize what question does Jesus ask the man. It's very obvious, you'll hear it. But secondly, I want you to notice what impact his meeting Jesus, what impact did it have on his life? Let's turn our attention to the screens for this clip.
Shalom.
Me?
Yes.
Shalom.
I have a question for you.
For me. I don't have many answers, but I'm listening.
Do you want to be healed?
Who are you?
We'll get to that later. But my question remains.
Will you take me to the water? Look, I'm having a really bad day.
You've been having a bad day for a long time. So?
Sir, I have no one to help me into the water when it's stirred up. And when I do get close, the others step down in front of me. And so...
Look at me. Look at me. That's not what I asked. I'm not asking you about who's helping you, or who's not helping, or who's getting in your way. I'm asking about you.
I've tried.
For a long time, I know. And you don't want false hope again, I understand. But this pool, it has nothing for you. It means nothing. And you know it. But you're still here. Why?
I don't know.
You don't need this pool. You only need me. So, do you want to be healed? So let's go. Get up. Pick up your mat. And walk.
Free to walk, like he said. Don't forget your bed.
Why does this matter?
Because you're not coming back here. That life is over. Everything changes now.
What a powerful clip. So what was the question? Do you want to be healed? I love that question. More accurately translated from the original language is, Jesus asked, do you want to be made whole? And I love how in the clip, the Apostle Peter, he goes up, if you caught it right there at the end, and he reminds him what Jesus had said, to pick up your mat and go. And the man says, why is this important? And Peter says, because from now on, everything will be different. Think about it. This man spent 38 years yearning to be healed, to be made whole, to walk. He'd hoped that someone, anyone, would offer to help him, but the years slipped by in loneliness and despair. What he didn't expect was to meet Jesus. And then Jesus asks him what we might consider the most ridiculous question on the planet. Do you want to be made whole? Are you kidding? Is that even really a question? Imagine if it had been you and you were sitting there for 38 years and Jesus comes up and asks you that question. I mean, let me think about that, Jesus. I don't know. I mean, I can't walk. I can't do anything. Can't care for myself. I mean, it's a no-brainer. It's a no-brainer here. But there again, there's something deeper to his question than just what's on the surface. It's almost like Jesus is asking him, be careful. Be careful how you answer my question, because if it's yes, your life very well may be changed completely forever. And it was. You see, the reality, I believe, behind the account here at the Pool of Bethesda is you cannot meet Jesus and remain the same. Jesus spoke, and this man's life is changed forever. Now, before I connect this to the Palm Sunday story, let me share a few more details that I think are important. First of all, this man had no power on his own to go out and find Jesus. In fact, he had put all of his hope in this sketchy myth that had resulted in zero for him all of these years. Nothing had happened for him. He was truly lost in hopelessness, and I bet he had completely given up that his life would get any better and that he was just going to die there in the porticos around this pool at Bethesda. And he was going to do so just feet away from the only thing that he thought could save him. So Jesus is the one who comes to him. That's so important. It is Jesus, out of his deep love and compassion for this man, he heals him. Now here's what I want you to try to do. I want you to try to put yourself into that story for just a moment if you can. I want you to picture yourself sitting next to that paralyzed man, and you too are also paralyzed. Maybe it's not physical paralysis. And the reason I say that is because I know for sure that there are so many things that go on in our lives today. There is so much pain and brokenness that we often feel stuck. We feel paralyzed, unable to move forward, and we yearn to be healed and set free. Maybe that's you today. Maybe you're going through something so difficult that you feel like that deer in the headlights and you can't move. It can be something to deal with physical condition. But it can also be emotional. It can be relational. It can be spiritual pain and brokenness that makes us feel powerless to move forward, feeling hopeless and yearning for a cure. And then on top of all of that, as you sit there next to this man, it is so darn easy to listen to the voices of the world around you promising you that if you can just jump into the pool of success at just the right time, if you can jump into the pool of luck at just the right time, then your life will certainly be better. All your problems will magically go away. And we listen to the world too often, and we hear at that pool, the lure of the pool is powerful. Life would be easier if I could just get that job, that raise, that promotion. Then things would be better. If someone could just find that miracle cure for what does ail my body, then I could really start living with hope again. If I could just jump in a pool and somehow my pride and my greed and my anger and my jealousy would magically go away, then my life and my relationships would be better. If I could jump in a pool and my addictions and again my anger and my lust, if they could all magically go away, then hope and life would begin. The lure of the pool is powerful, but as luck would have it, the things that this world would claim to be a miracle cure are just out of reach. And trust me, even if there were a magical pool, and even if you could get into it, it would not heal you of what you were truly broken inside and suffering from. You would still yearn for something else. But Jesus knows this, my friends. And so he comes to you. Just like the paralytic, he comes to you. He looks you in the eyes and he stares at you out of deep love and compassion and he asks you the question, do you want to be made whole? Be careful how you answer his question, because when Jesus makes you whole, your life will never be the same again. But I can assure you, my friends, that this new life in Jesus is the most beautiful and hope-filled and joy-filled life that you could ever imagine. And yes, sometimes Jesus physically heals what's wrong in our lives, just like the paralytic, but he didn't heal all the paralytics. He didn't heal all the sick, the blind, and the deaf. But what Jesus always heals, what you can absolutely be certain of, is that he heals us from what is most broken inside of us through the forgiveness of our sins. He heals us from the inside out. He washes us clean as his children. He washes us in his grace, not in some pool that claims to have mystical powers, but right here in the waters of holy baptism, God washes you in living water and creates a new life. He comes to you and heals you through the Lord's Supper that we received just a few moments ago through his body and blood. He heals us through his word, which you can hold in your hands every single day. But this is deeply personal. His invitation to be healed is for you. Jesus is looking at you, and he's asking you not only the question, but indeed he's showing you that he is the answer. In him we have life and salvation, even when the hurts and the pains of living in this broken world continue, and we know that they will this side of heaven, even though we continue to have the trials and difficulties and the griefs of life, we are living a life of healed and hope and joy in his grace. So now jump with me to the Palm Sunday Road. And I want you to try to put yourself into this scene for a moment, and I'm going to connect these together. I want you to stand in the crowd. They're waving their palm branches. They're putting their cloaks on the ground. They're shouting, Hosanna, save us. And as you watch Jesus approaching on the donkey, he does not ask the question directly. He doesn't say anything. But can't you see it in his eyes? He's asking the same question. And it's not just to the crowd, it's to you. It's to people of all time. He's saying, as he rides into town, do you want to be made whole? But as you stand amongst the crowd, you also, sadly, something else becomes very clear. They're rejoicing, yes, they're all energized, yes, they're using a lot of churchy words. In fact, they are words that come right out of the Bible. But what they see on the donkey is not who Jesus really is. What they see on the donkey is a desire for their own pool of Bethesda. And they're ready to jump in. This man's going to change our lives. He's going to crush the Roman occupation. We'll finally have a real king sitting on Caesar's throne. We will be a sovereign nation again. Our economy will boom and the land will once again flow with milk and honey and life will be grand. That's what they're hoping for. But the one thing you can count on is broken people will always be broken people. And when the world fails to solve all their problems, and the world will always fail, then they get angry. And they start to blame others. And they become violent and demanding. I mean, thank God we don't have any of that going on in our world today. But these same happy, hopeful people that you're standing alongside of, waving the palm branches, once they find out that he is no pool of Bethesda, they will turn on a dime and their shouts will go from Hosanna to the Son of David to kill him. Their brokenness has blinded them. They missed hearing the question, and they missed seeing that the answer is right before them. But for you and I, friends, let us not miss it. The invitation is for you right now, right here today, healing and wholeness in Jesus. That's why he came. That is what love does. You see, love keeps no record of sin, no record of wrongs. In fact, Jesus looks you right in the eyes and he sees all the way into your heart and he sees what's hurting inside. He knows what has broken you. And your only hope for healing and wholeness is found in him. In his sacrifice, in his resurrection. He's riding into Jerusalem to do what you cannot do, to defeat what you and I could not defeat. The paralytic couldn't heal himself. He's riding into Jerusalem to give you what you could never earn. That's why it's called grace. He's riding in to fix everything that sin has broken. When Jesus comes to you, he makes you whole. I mean, think about it. Jesus didn't just heal one leg of the paralytic so he would stand and walk in circles. He healed the whole man. Why? So that he could follow Jesus. This is not just a partial healing for you. This means that all of your sins, it means all of your brokenness, all of your failures, all of your regrets, everything broken within you has been redeemed and made new. This isn't just Jesus meeting some of your needs. This is Jesus meeting your greatest need. Your greatest need, and he's given you the most glorious and beautiful gift of a whole life in him, something the world cannot offer. You see, and we must remember, when we're healed by Jesus, life will never be the same again. So my friends, come. Let's follow Jesus. Amen. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, bless us, we pray. We thank you for sending your Son. And on this Palm Sunday in the beginning of Holy Week, as we follow him to the cross and to the empty tomb, Lord, our lives have been changed. You have made us a new creation. You have washed us in the water of holy baptism. We are now your beloved sons and daughters. Lord, our lives will never be the same, but that is glorious. And so, Lord, help us hear the question whenever you ask it, and help us know that you are the answer always, that we are made whole only in you. Lord, we pray that you would instill and grow that faith and trust in you each and every day. In Jesus' name we pray it. And all of God's people said, amen.